We've been looking at the story of Mel and Mary, but also Zechariah, because the two have something very much in common. We see this in the story in Luke, and as it talks about the birth of Christ and sets it up, it gives us the story of both Zechariah, who was the husband of Elizabeth, the relative of Mary, and also the story of Mary, as both Zechariah and Mary get the visit by the angel Gabriel. And in both cases, Gabriel gives an announcement to both of them. For Zechariah, while he's in the temple, he says that his wife, even though they're both of advanced age, his wife will have a child. And he talks about the child's role spiritually as well. And then, of course, he comes to Mary, and we're all very familiar with that story, as he announces that the Savior will be born, that seed by the Holy Spirit will be in her, and she will bear the one who will save just all people, the salvation for all people. So they both get the same announcement, or they both get the same visit, kind of similar announcements. Certainly the one that Mary had much more difficult for her. But what's interesting is to see the responses of both of them. And that's what we're looking at the last couple of days, is how the responses of both Zechariah and Mary. And there's things that we can learn from those responses on how to receive things from God. And we were looking yesterday about Zechariah and the question that he had. And as Gabriel came, in both cases, it says that for both Zechariah and for Mary, they both had a response that was fear right away. But as soon as they had fear, the very next thing we see is Gabriel gives them words of peace, words of joy, words of hope, and then gives them the good news that they have. And then after that, both Zechariah and Mary each ask a question of Gabriel. But the interesting thing is to see the response of Gabriel to each of those two questions. Because the one is rather a harsh tone and has some significance for Zechariah, as he is left mute until the time that his son John is born. On the other side, he has great words of encouragement for Mary, and in fact answers not only Mary's question, but then gives her more encouragement. And the question that Zechariah was asking simply came down to this. Zechariah said, he's got the angel who just came from the face of God and says, okay, you bring me this message, but what evidence will I have? What else will there be? What other sign will there be to confirm this to me? As though having the angel who just came from the face of God not being enough. And Mary asks a question, and she says, how can this be since I have not known a man? And we'll see why there's a difference in the responses to both of those questions. Because asking questions of God is not a bad thing. God wants us to ask questions. God wants us to understand why he asks us to do the things that he does. God wants us to understand him and who he is. So he likes questions. He wants us to ask questions. The difference is the motivation behind the questions. Now, Zechariah asked the question, and now Mary, as I said, also asked the question. Zechariah's rendered mute for the next 9 months. But to Mary's question, Gabriel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud, so that the holy, pure, sinless offspring, which shall be born of you, will be called the Son of God. And listen, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is now the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word of God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. That is in Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 35 and goes through, I think, verse 36. What an amazing difference we see in these two different responses that Gabriel gives to both Zechariah and then to Mary. Now, some have asked why there was a different response, because it does seem to be kind of unfair. And it just seems a bit incongruous that Zechariah asks a question and he gets struck mute. Mary asks a question and she gets this gentle answer and even more information. Zechariah asked for a sign and was rendered mute. Mary asks a question, she gets her answer, and she's told, hey, here's another sign I'm going to give you. You're going to go find your relative Elizabeth, and she is already pregnant. So she gets a sign and she didn't ask for it. This reveals a vital truth for us. God's not offended by questions, but it's the motivation behind the questions, as I said. That's what reveals our hearts and our faith, or our lack of faith. What's the motivation when we ask God questions? This is the difference between Zechariah and Mary. Zechariah asked the question with a heart of doubt. He was, in essence, saying that Gabriel's good news was an impossibility. It went against the life experience that he had accumulated up to that point. Elizabeth had never become pregnant previously, and because of her advanced age, it was incomprehensible to him that it should be taking place now, that that should happen now. So he designed, he desired to have a sign to establish this fact. He wanted a sign so he had something that he could believe in, something more than the angel Gabriel standing there. Quite simply, Zechariah didn't believe. Didn't believe the words that Gabriel was saying to him. Mary, however, is different. She was inquiring as to how this amazing thing could take place. She wasn't questioning that it could take place. She was inquiring as to how it could take place. She didn't doubt that the words spoken to her by Gabriel was true and would transpire. She just wondered how this could take place, how this could be. There's no lack of faith, just a lack of understanding. And as I said, God delights to show us how he moves in unexpected and supernatural ways when we believe. God delights to show us those things that we don't understand. God wants to do amazing things in your life as well. When you read all the promises for your life in the Word of God, how do you respond? Because how you respond determines the result that you're going to wind up getting. We can see there's a clear cause and effect results from the two different responses of Zechariah and Mary. Now, this should lead us to then ask ourselves, what's the cause and effect result that I'm seeing in my life specifically? If you're not seeing the supernatural, if you're not seeing the amazing, if you're not seeing the Word of God and the promises come to pass in your life, then probably you need to alter the way that you're thinking. If I'm not seeing those things take place, that's a sign to me that I need to alter the way that I'm thinking. And my thinking then needs to match that of Mary's example here in this story in Luke chapter 1. And we need to separate ourselves from the attitude of Zechariah, which is so prevalent and so easy for us to fall into. Again, let me point out to you that Zechariah asked for a sign and he received none because of his lack of faith. Mary did not ask for a sign, but she simply believed the promise. And she did get a sign to encourage her and to strengthen her as she stood in faith. See, this is the amazing thing. If you will stand in faith, if you will stand in faith on the Word and simply believe the Word, even though circumstances in life may dictate a different thought and a different attitude, if you will simply in faith believe the Word, God will show himself to you. He will give you signs. If you believe the word, he will give you signs and encouragements natural in the natural realm, in the physical realm, signs and things to encourage you to continue to stand. If you will stand in faith, he will encourage you further as you stand. And most of us do it backwards. Most of us want to get the sign, then we'll believe. God, if you show me this, then I will believe. It doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. And if you tried to do it that way, have you had success? I'm pretty positive the answer is going to be no on that. If it hasn't worked, then try a different approach. Stand in faith, stand on the word, stand and believe in spite of what common sense says and the natural world dictates. Stand and believe, and God will show you things to further encourage you. It's awesome and it's awe-inspiring. If you go back for a moment to verses 35 and 37, she's told that her relative Elizabeth was still experiencing a supernatural pregnancy of her own. That had to be such an encouragement to Mary. When she visited Elizabeth, and we see that in verses 39 through 56. Again, this is Luke chapter 1. And she saw the evidence of what she had been told by Gabriel. That had to strengthen her faith even more. She didn't see Elizabeth, but Gabriel said that this was taking place in Elizabeth. And Mary knew. This is her relative. She knew that her whole life she'd been barren. And she knew that she was past the age of childbearing. So for the angel to come and say, hey, by the way, your relative, Elizabeth, is pregnant also. When Mary went to see Elizabeth, think about her faith, how her faith must have just increased exponentially. Because that word that Gabriel spoke to her was clearly true. And what did that do to her faith for the word that Gabriel spoke to her about the seed that was planted supernaturally in her? Zechariah had a good news. but he doubted, and he asked for a sign. Mary had good news. She didn't doubt. She didn't understand, but she didn't doubt. She asked for understanding. And because she acted in faith, the Holy Spirit gave her evidences, gave her signs to further encourage her. Listen, if you're looking for signs to encourage you today, if you're standing on a part of the Word, if you are standing on the Word today and you need to see something take place that right now it doesn't look like it can, you stand and believe. If you're looking for a sign, you're setting yourself up for defeat, because looking for a sign is saying you don't believe. It's saying you don't have faith. Don't look for a sign. Just look to the Word. Accept the Word, believe the Word, speak the Word, stand steadfast on the Word in spite of the circumstances, and God will give you, when you're not asking for it, He will show you things to strengthen your faith. You will get those additional signs, if you will, or just things that God does to further and strengthen your faith and encourage you in that walk. He'll give you those moments where it's clear that He is in control and He's showing you, you see, I'm faithful, and your faith soars. We can also learn a valuable lesson from this dissimilar responses between the two about the Word and the power and how it should be used. Zechariah, either he didn't believe the Word came directly from God via Gabriel, or he didn't believe that even God could do what he said. Either way, the result was the same. He was left mute until the time that the promise that had been given could be fulfilled. It was important to hear what Gabriel said to Zechariah about his lack of faith response. Listen very closely to verse number 20. It says, "You will be and will continue to be silent and not be able to speak till the day when things take place, because you have not believed what I told you. But my words are a kind which will be fulfilled at the appointed and proper time." Now, Zechariah had not believed the Word, and he spoke that doubt. He spoke it out loud. He spoke it with his lips to Gabriel. According to Proverbs 18:21, the power of life and death is in the tongue. There's a power in what we say and the words that are spoken. Now, think about this. God even created this whole world by speaking it into existence. What we say is important, and what we say has ramifications. Zechariah learned this the hard way. For many of us, this is a lesson that we're still learning in this life. The lesson is this: what we believe in our hearts is going to be spoken by our mouths. Out of the abundance of your heart, so shall you speak. And sometimes it's just better to not even speak at all. When Zechariah was unable to speak, he was unable to hinder the great gift that God was giving him. Think about that. By speaking further words of doubt, he would have further encumbered or hindered or made it impossible for that promise of God to come to pass. Think about this. God's love was so great for Zechariah. He had this promise for him. You know, we look at Zechariah being struck mute, and we look at it as a punishment. Now, it's definitely a result of his lack of faith, but you can also look at this and see God's grace and mercy. Because he's already, at the first moment of getting the good news, he's already speaking words of doubt. He's already speaking words that are contrary to the promise. And he was struck mute because had he continued to speak those words of doubt, he would have hindered and eventually made impossible. Now listen, he would have made impossible that which God had given to him. He'd have made it impossible for it to come from the spiritual realm where it was already a reality and be manifested in the natural realm. He would have, by his own words, by his own tongue, he would have destroyed the blessing that God had established and given him. It was to his benefit that he was struck mute until this took place, because he couldn't speak words contrary to the promise. How many times do we live our lives and we say we believe God's word, we say we stand on the word, and yet the words that come out of our mouth in those unguarded moments are words of doubt, no different than Zechariah. And what you wind up doing is hindering the promises that God has given. Listen, if I'm speaking a whole bunch of words that are contrary to the promise that I'm believing, let's just say, for example, that I'm believing God for a healing. I can tell people I'm standing on the word and believing, but if the words that come out of my mouth are words of doubt and uncertainty and are questioning, words that question my faith, all I'm doing, the power of life and death is in the tongue, I'm hindering God's ability to have that word come to pass, that word that He's given me. I am the one hindering and making it impossible for that promise to be manifested in my life. I am. It would be better if I was struck mute. It'd be better if I didn't talk at all. It'd be better if I just bided my tongue and said nothing until the promise came to pass. Now, the reality is, it's even better if I can speak words of faith. It's even better if I can speak the word, because there's a creative power to that as well. But the lesson we learned from Zechariah is, we're the ones that hinder the things that God is trying to do. As a side note, please notice what happened to Mary as soon as she embraces the word that's given to her by Gabriel. It says in verse number 38, then Mary said, behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to what you have said. And the angel left her. This is my final point. Boy, there's a lot more we could talk about on this, but I'm out of time. As soon as she verbally accepted the promise that had been given to her by God, the angel departed from her. Now, we were just talking about the importance of the spoken word with Zechariah. Now, look what happens when Mary spoke her word. As soon as she spoke her words of faith, the angel departed. She spoke the words, he departed. Don't miss this important point. Once we've received and accepted in faith the word of God, we no longer have need for anything else. Even an angelic visitation was not as powerful as the embracing and the speaking of the word itself. Even the angelic visitation was obsolete at that point. Many of us say, I'd love to have an angel come and give me a word. If you stand on the word of God and you speak the word of God, even an angelic visitation is obsolete at that point, because there is nothing more powerful than that word. When you embrace the word of God, you will not require anything else. When you embrace the word and speak the word, everything else is obsolete. There's nothing more powerful in your life. And you can see the differences between Zechariah and the words that he spoke. He was better off being left mute. When Mary spoke her words of faith, even the angel Gabriel, who said to Zechariah when he came, he had come from the face of God. As soon as she spoke her words, he was gone, because he was no longer needed. She had the greatest power that she could ever need or hope for.